Take your Bible, find if you would, the 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 8 will be our text this evening as we continue in our series in this great book, Things to Remember. And I don't know about you, but I am enjoying reading and studying the book of Deuteronomy. I enjoy it because it's easy for me to follow along. It's easy for me to understand the storylines and the events that are happening for the nation of Israel. I also am enjoying it because I run into myself in this book all the time. I run into the thought processes that I can have sometimes. I run into the fears that I can have sometimes. I run into the trials and the tests, and I find myself being challenged and confronted and, yea, even encouraged in the goodness of God and the promises of God in this book. I would encourage you to make sure to read along with me throughout the week. Next Wednesday night, we will be in chapter number 9. You'll be amazed if you'll take 5 minutes and read the chapter before you get here, how much clearer and easier it is to follow along and understand some of these things. And so we pick up tonight in the 8th chapter. There's 20 verses here. Once again, this is Moses communicating to the nation of Israel. This would be the second generation that has come out of Egypt. And these are the folks that are getting ready to cross over into the promised land. And Moses, under the instruction of God himself, under the communication of God through Moses to the people, he is preparing the people so that they may enter in and that they will know blessing and encouragement and victory in the promised land. If you come to chapter 8, verse number 1, you will find a reoccurring theme. And if you take notes or you write in your Bible, I'll show you maybe a part to mark here. Moses writes, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may," say that word, "live." If you write in your Bible, I would underline those four words, "that ye may live." You have run into these words arranged in this order before. The first time we ran into them was chapter number 4, verse number 1, "that ye may live." Second time we've run into them like this is chapter number 5, verse number 33. Now we run in chapter 8, verse number 1, once again, God telling the nation of Israel, "I want you to live. I want you to be blessed. I want you to enjoy me. I want to enjoy you. I want to be God to you. I want you to be my people." We will run into this phrase a few more times. I think the word "live," if I remember right, was used over 30 times in the book. But in this simple phrase, "that ye may live," you see the heart of God. And not only does God want them just to live as far as existence, he wants them to be fruitful and to know a fruitful life. So if you look at verse number 1, that ye may live and multiply, there's blessing, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And so God has good prepared for them. God has blessing for them. God has a purpose and a desire in all of this. And he wants them to be blessed. And by the way, God wants to bless you. He does want to bless you. He wants you to know the blessing of being his child. He wants you to know life. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it," how, class? "More abundantly." So there's a multiplication there. The possessing of that land is to enjoy the fruit of the land, to enjoy the goodness of God, to enjoy all that God had prepared for them. I know that the world would tell you that God is some ogre who's looking to keep you in some prison of fear in a way that you don't enjoy him. But that's not how the Bible would outline God or show the Lord in our lives. And so Moses is again reminding them that the way to live is to obey the commandments. He has a desire here, and he's linking blessing with this one thought, and he's linking blessing with this one thought all the way through the book. Go to the very last verse of chapter number 8, and I think it will be very clear to you. We'll get here in a moment, but he's finishing up the chapter, speaking to the nation here, and he's giving them a word of warning. He says, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So he is drilling into the nation that life, blessing, goodness, peace, prosperity, joy, all of this is tied to their understanding of the necessity to obey the voice of the Lord. Now, if we want to know the voice of the Lord today, we go to the Word of God. I would submit to you this: blessing is still tied to obeying God's Word. You have a choice. You have a choice in every area of your life. All choices have consequences. So you and I, we can either choose to obey the Word of God and know the blessing of God, or we can choose to disobey the Word of God and therefore know the consequence of disobedience. I would just say this. It's not rocket science. Good thing, or none of us would understand it, right? Obey and be blessed. Disobey, and you'll face the consequence of that. You cannot know the blessing of God in your life apart from obeying the Word of God. It looks so easy. It looks so simple for me to kind of step outside of obeying the Word of God and kind of arrange or order or align my own life. Sometimes we just believe that obeying the Word of God is too much trouble. Obeying the Word of God is too simple. Obeying the Word of God will not be sufficient. But my friends, let me explain something to you. The Word of God is the living, eternal Word. It is trustworthy for your obedience. It will be a light unto your path, a lamp unto your feet. And people that lived blessed lives are people that obey the Word of God. I have learned that I cannot force people to obey the Word of God. If I had the forcing power, believe me, baby, I would use it. I can't force you to do it, and you can't force me to do it. Obeying the Word of God has got to be something that comes from within your heart. If it does not come from within your heart, it's not sustainable, it's not truthful, and it will not be powerful or vital in your life. This is what God understands about the nation of Israel. This is what he understands about the people. So all of chapter 8, really and truthfully, is dealing with, and here's the sermon title tonight, Matters of the Heart. Brother Keith Scheffler, he's not here tonight. I'm sure he's working. He did an outstanding job on Sunday. If you missed Sunday, wow. Don't download my message. Download his class. Download the 10 o'clock and the 6 o'clock. Get that outline. What he gave us to enable us to study the Word of God is priceless. So he taught us on Sunday that when you read a chapter, you're looking for themes or repeating words or thoughts or ideas, because that's really what God is trying to get across. Let me prove that to you in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 2. About three quarters of the way down in verse number 2, get your pen, by the way, or your highlighter. You will see the phrase, after he talks about the wilderness, and after he talks about to humble thee and to prove thee, there's a statement here. to know what was in thine, say it, heart. Underline that phrase, to know what was in thine heart. Come down to verse number 5. Take your pen. Thou shalt also consider in thine what? Heart. There's the word again. Underline the phrase. Come, if you would, to verse number 14. Then thine, what's the word? Heart be lifted up. Underline that phrase. Come to verse number 17. And thou say in thine, say the word, heart. Four times the word heart is mentioned in 20 verses. Four times, in each time it's mentioned within a phrase or a direction or a description. The first one is the proving of our hearts. The second one is we're to consider in our heart. The third one is that our heart not be lifted up with pride. And the last one is that we don't let our hearts be exalted or secretive as a false motivation in our life. And so Moses, at God's leading, is letting the nation know that God wants you to live and multiply and be prosperous and be blessed. What you need to understand, nation, is that is absolutely tied to obeying the voice of God. Now, your fathers, they tried to skirt that. They're all dead. These nations in Canaan, they denied submitting to the word of God. Therefore, they're under the judgment. But you, when you go in there, pay attention, man. This is how you live. You need the word of God. And God and Moses understood that this was not something that could be forced upon them through consequence. I have found that consequences alone will not keep a man from sinning. Consequences alone will not keep a woman from having an affair. Consequences alone will not keep a man from transgression. We may fear the consequence. If that were true, then we wouldn't need any jails. And if that was true, we would never need the electric chair or the lethal injection. If consequence alone was sufficient to make you do right, then life would be different. But consequence alone's not sufficient. Just take hell, for example. Hell is real. People die without Christ, they go to hell. The consequence of that doesn't keep them in an obedient manner. And so they understood that it couldn't be that way. They understood that if there was going to be obedience, and God knows, then it's got to come from the heart. So we're talking about matters of the heart. Pick up, if you would, and please, in verse number 2, and watch how Moses reaches into the heart of the nation and presents some truths to them. He says now, in verse number 2, the theme of our whole message series, and thou shalt, what's that word? Remember, all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove, say that word there, thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Now Moses is talking to the nation here. He's talking to the second generation. He says, now listen, I need you to remember. Go back and remember when you were young. Remember when your fathers were there. And remember how God has led us through the wilderness. God led us through the wilderness with purpose. By the way, God does nothing in your life without purpose. So I can say to Brother Chad, who's having a surgery on Friday, God has purpose in this. I can say to Novia, whose car got destroyed, God has purpose in this. I can say to all of us that haven't unspoken tonight, God has purpose in this. God does nothing without purpose. And so immediately when God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, he did not bring them the way they thought they should go. He brought them his unique way because he had a purpose. His immediate purpose was that they would continue to trust him. Once they began to rebel and once they began to move away from that, Moses is saying, now God has led us through this wilderness over these last 40 years, and he had some purposes here. The first purpose was he wanted to humble us. Then he wanted to prove us. And God wanted to prove us to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. A question for you. Who's God trying to prove that information to? Not himself. It wasn't like God was putting them through the test and God was saying, okay, I'm going to see what they're going to do because I have no idea what they're going to do. We serve an omniscient God. So it's not that God was leading them there to prove to himself whether they would obey him or not. God led them in that way and God tested them in that way, so that God could prove them to them. God wanted them to know what was in their heart. God wanted them to see in their life as to whether or not they were going to obey God, whether or not they were going to trust the Lord. My friends, church family, the same way that God tested the nation of Israel to prove to them their own heart, God will test you. God 100% will test you to prove to you your heart, whether or not you're going to obey the Lord or whether or not you're not going to obey the Lord. It's easy to obey the Lord when nothing wrong is happening. It's easy to obey the Lord when life is simple. It's easy to obey the Lord on the outside of the test or the difficulty. But mark my words, God does not leave his children alone. He's constantly working in your life to prove and test your faith, to prove and test the direction that you're going to go in your heart. And so here Moses says, now God has led you through the wilderness to humble you and to prove to you so that you can know what is in your heart, whether you're going to obey God or not. Pastor, I stink at this. It seems like every time God puts a test on me, I fail. Pastor, I'm thinking of a situation right now where it was a difficult test and I should have obeyed the Lord and I didn't. Pastor, why can I not trust the Lord? Now that question there has got to be dealt with very tenderly. The Bible says this about a just man. The just shall live by faith. If you have no ability to execute faith, it's evident that there's no just to you. So the just man or the saved man has brought within him by the Spirit of God the ability to go by faith. It's one thing to say, I can't muster up any faith. If you can't muster up any faith, my friend, then you're probably not saved. Let that sink. Pastor, I do muster up faith and I do believe the Lord, but man, I have one step here and two steps back, and it seems like on the simple things I'm good, or even the complex things I'm good, but the simple things I fail or fall. So why do I lack consistency when it comes to trusting the Lord? Why does it seem like I keep running into the same problem over and over and over and over again? That's God proving to you where an opportunity or a need that you have, or a specific spot where you need to trust the Lord. Most of the time, the reason why people can't trust the Lord is because they're not in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... You give me a person who's consistently reading and studying and believing the Word of God, and you will find that that person has the ability to trust the Lord. So here's what Moses says to the nation of Israel. God is going to test you. God is going to prove to you your heart, whether or not you have the ability or desire to obey, or you won't obey the Lord. Not only is he going to prove you to you, but he also has another reason why he tests us. Look in verse number 3. And this reason is because he desires not only to prove you to you, but he also desires to teach you some things. And he humbled thee, speaking of the nation, and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man, read the rest of this out loud with me, doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So God is, Moses is saying, now God led us this way and he did it to prove us something. He did it with a purpose. He did it to expose our heart, to expose the unbelief of our heart, whether or not we were going to obey God or we're going to disobey God. And as you look back at the nation, they failed miserably at this. And then Moses says, now he also tested us so that he could teach us some things. So here's what God did. God suffered or allowed us to be hungry. What's he saying? He's saying God allowed them to have a need. I don't know any stronger need or feeling than to be hungry. And so when they got out into the wilderness, God allowed them to have this need, this hunger. I mean, they were so hungry, they were ready to go back to Egypt. And so he allowed this need. And then at the same time, he also had supply for the need. You ought to read Exodus chapter number 16. And he brought this test to them. He said, now it was me that wanted to humble you. It was me that suffered you to be hungry. At the same time I provided a need, I also provided supply. Did you hear that? Same time I brought a need into your life, I also have the supply to that need. Pastor, we out of nowhere, this need has been brought into our life. This test has been brought into our life. This problem has been brought into my life out of nowhere. And Pastor, I don't know how we're going to go forward here. Most of the time, to God's child, this is God testing you. And the same God that has brought that need into your life, he is the same God that loves you. If you can just imagine, over here, all God has for the nation is good. That's all he's got for them. He's preparing them for this. So he brings this need in to teach them. Boy, they went nuts. They cursed him. They wanted to go back. They were about ready to kill Moses. They didn't trust the Lord with this. And then Moses ends up praying and God ends up sending manna. So the same God that brought the need brought the supply to their life. And Moses said, now God did this to teach you something. You don't make it through life on physical food. Physical food is not the problem in your life. What God is trying to teach you is that man doesn't just live by food. Man lives by the word of God. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. So when a problem comes into your life, say it's a financial problem. It's not necessarily money that sustains you. It's God that sustains you. So life is great when you have money, but what happens when you don't have those things? And he's teaching the nation, stop looking at just what you need physically and understand that I know I allowed this in your life. I have this supply waiting for you. I have this good here. But you got to trust me. You got to understand the promises that I have. You got to understand that I am the meter of your need. God and God alone is the meter of our need. Now, why was this so important? Because when they get over there, they're going to run into walls and cities that are massive. The men look like giants, man. They're going to get over there, and there's going to be opposition and difficulty and testing and trials. And the last thing God wants them to do is to get over there and think, well, how are we going to do this? No, you're not going to do this. I'm able to do this. Just believe me, trust me, walk with me, obey me. I am the one that will care for you. So God allows tests in your life to prove you to you, to show you really where you really stand. Sometimes we think we're spiritual giants, and really and truthfully, we're just selfish children. And God will test us to teach us that we do not live by our provision. We live by the provision of God. Look at verse number 4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell. If you have foot problems, you ought to find some good foundation in this verse. Neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. This is God testing them, but this is also God just proving himself. God says, now wait a minute here. Tell the nation, I led them to expose them in their unbelief in their heart, that they didn't obey my word. He said, then I allowed problems and difficulty into their life. Now, I had the supply there, but I'm trying to teach them that they're not going to make it by their own provision. They're not going to make it by their own effort. They're not going to make it by their own reasoning. Man doesn't live that way. Man lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. They need me. They need my word, and I'm teaching them this. Now, the evidence that they can trust me is 40 years you walked in that desert. And not only did their shoe not have a problem, their feet didn't swell. How many foot swellers do I have out here? Pastor, how would you answer such a personal question? Because sometimes I see you and you got that big, thick hose on your legs. And I know that's designed to keep your feet. And their feet didn't even swell. Now, here's the thing about this. I don't even think they noticed it. I don't even think they reckoned what God had done for them. I think this is God standing up for himself and saying, you ungrateful children, you're screaming and doubting me. 40 years I cared for you, and you're not even did your feet swell. Isn't that just like ungrateful children? Dad, why don't you give me this? Why don't you see all that I've done for you? You ever tell your kid that's my food you're eating? You ever tell your kid that's my bed you're sleeping in? You ever tell your kid, Dad, I don't like these clothes. Those are my clothes and you're going to wear them. Our children by nature are always looking at what they don't have and never remember what dad and mom has already done for them. Well, we do that to God. And God says, you can't trust me to bring blessing into your life, and for 40 years your foot didn't even swell. By the way, our God is awesome. And he's testing them. And he's exposing the unbelief and the ingratitude in their heart to themselves. Then he says this in verse number 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Now we know from other parts of the scripture that the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so God wants them to understand in their heart how much that God loves them. That love is evident through his punishment, because a loving father will lovingly punish his disobedient children. And God wants them to reckon that. He wants them to know going in that after their heart has been exposed to their unbelief and their disobedience and their rebellion, he wants them to understand what the purpose of all of that has been, to prove to them themselves, prove to them the need for the word of God, prove to them the power of God. And now he says, I also want you to know how much I love you. Pick up in verse number 6. Because, really truthfully, because I love you, therefore thou shalt keep thy commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a, say those two words, good land. I wish I could beat this into our minds so we would never forget it. Bring thee into a good, good land. A land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without, say it, scarceness. Now God says, I brought you that need. And you guys panicked back there in Exodus 16, and you wanted to rebel. I also have the ability to bring food to you, but if you just obey me, there will be no scarceness to the blessing I have for you. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And so he's going on to show them the good hand of God. Look at verse number 10. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. By the way, I read one commentator today, and I'm going to try to practice this as much as I can. He says, we pray to the Lord when we're hungry, but we forget to pray when we're full. What's he saying there? You should not only pray before you eat, you should pray after you eat. Oh. Well, I usually just watch football. That's okay. I would just like to say this. It's easy to pray in adversity. It's very difficult to pray in prosperity. God doesn't just want to be asked for something. God wants to be thanked for something. It's interesting. Verse number 11, beware thou that forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be, say those two words, lifted up. Now God says, now when you get over here in this land, he says, and you are enjoying my blessing, and you are enjoying all that I am doing for you, don't let your heart get lifted up in pride and forget the Lord thy God, verse 14, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. God did not want their heart to be lifted up in pride. He wanted them to understand that everything they had in life is because God gave it to them. My friends, if blessing is tied to obeying the word of God, and blessing has to come from your heart, or that motivation has to come from our heart, then as we read the word of God and we begin to see all that God has given to us and all the rich and fullness and beauty that God is, that needs to be reckoned in our life to bring us to the position of humble praise, not hardened pride. I would ask you tonight, are you the king of your world? Are you the king of your world? Do you sit back and you put your feet up at night, those swollen feet, by the way, and do you look around and do you say, I've done pretty good for myself. I've done pretty good for myself. Let me tell you something. You've done nothing for yourself. God has done everything for you. Amazes me. People pray for children, and God gives them children. And then they never rear their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God, you beg God for those children, then you let those children take you out of church. You beg God for a job, and then you don't tithe. You beg God for health, and then you don't serve the Lord. And it's like when the blessing of God comes into our life, if we're not careful, our heart will get lifted up and we'll begin to look around and we'll begin to say, I've done pretty good for myself. God will not share his glory with anyone. He wants glory from your life. You will either heap praise to God or we will harden with pride in our lives. Now watch how deep this goes and I'll prove it to you. Verse 16. And thou say in thine heart. Now when he's talking about your heart being lifted up and your heart talking, he's talking about secretness here. And thou say in thine heart. When you think in your heart, nobody really knows what you're saying. This is a private conversation you're having with yourself. The problem is God knows your heart. So here's what a heart lifted up with pride will say. My power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt, what's the word, class? Remember, the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee, what's that word? Power to, what's the next one? Now, he didn't say he gave them wealth. He said, now, when you get in that land and you've got all of this wealth and blessing, don't let your heart say, I did it by my power. Don't let your brain say it was me that did it. Remember, it was God that gave you the ability to get this. Now look me in my four eyeballs in 1 second. In a moment, God could allow you to have a stroke and you could be done. Go ahead, rich man. Tear down your barns and build bigger. Tonight, thy soul will be required of thee. And in the dead of night, that man died. It's God that allows you to have a brain on the count of three. Inhale, exhale. One, two, three. Exhale. The psalmist said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. God said, when you get over there, buddy, you didn't do a stinking thing by your own ability. I gave you the ability. Watch what secret moves even. I'm going. I'll be done at 8:15. I promise. Just give me 4 minutes. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. He was going to keep his word. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall surely, what? God said, now you, this is a matter of the heart here. I've proven to you that there's unbelief and lack of trust in your heart. I've also proven to you that I'm teaching you that you need to live by my word, that my word is the blessing in your life. I've proven my ability to take care of you. I'm also want you to consider in your heart that I love you. As I unfold my blessing in your life, do not let your heart be lifted up with pride. Don't let the secret part of you begin to say that you did this in your life. If you study these verses, and I just give you these three points, the evidence of that secretness was they did not worship the Lord properly. They followed after other gods. And they did not obey, and they did not submit to God's word. So as their heart was speaking and edifying themselves, they didn't worship God. They didn't follow after God and serve God, and they didn't submit to his word. My friends, the blessing of God upon your life is tied, if you know him, to the obedience of God in your life. It is a matter of the heart. May our hearts be submitted to the Spirit of God, filled with the love of God, and humbled to the Word of God. And may he get praise from our life. I need you to understand something. Your life is a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it's gone. I have seen God touch people in their health who thought their lives were attributed to them. Not everybody. Not everybody. Here's what happens. God will bless a Christian, and God will give you a life you never dreamed about. And then you'll turn your back on God. You won't worship him. They don't come to church. They're not submitted. They're serving other things in their life. No humility to the word of God. And I've watched God just say, okay, I'm going to humble you. And I'm going to prove to you that you need me. And touch them. Strong. Strong. I am personally afraid of God spanking me. And I think God, he doesn't want us to live under that fear. He wants us to live in light of the blessing of God. I want my son to love me because I'm his dad. And I want my son to love me because it's in his heart to love me. My son knows if you transgress my word, punishment's coming. Loving punishment is coming. But I want him to humble himself and love me from his heart. Isn't it that much better when your kid loves you like that? Such peace in your home. Kids can bring horrific chaos to your home with that rebellious spirit. But when they have a humble, loving heart, it's awesome. God wants that from his children. Shall we pray?